Have you wished, Elsie?
Yes, Auntie, very definitely.
Mind you, I'm not always in the mood, you know. Sometimes I can't see things at all, and then at other times it's all as clear as anything. Everything I tell people comes true. It's a gift, you know. One can't control
it. We must be in the mood tonight, Aunt Lucy.
Well, the first thing I see, Elsie, is a great surprise. Yes, you're going to have a great surprise.
Surprise? When?
Oh, very soon.
How soon? Next week?
Perhaps sooner.
Well, can't be much sooner. It's Sunday night, nearly next week now.
Well, it's coming very soon, and it isn't a nice surprise. I don't think you'll like it.
Oh, Aunt Lucy.
Can't help it. I'm only telling you what's here in the cards.
Well, what's it about?
I think it's something to do with a medium-coloured man.
Medium-coloured man. Is he young?
No, I don't think he is. Your home comes into it. Mm. Yes, I think the medium-coloured man must be your father.
Is it about an engagement?
No, I don't see an engagement connected with it. I think you're simply going to get a great surprise from your father.
Oh, that's just like the cards. They're always like that. A great surprise from Dad, of all people. I suppose the great surprise would be that he's grown two tomatoes in his greenhouse, or he can't find his pipe, or one of his silly detective stories or something. Dad.
No, it's all here, quite plain. Also, a great surprise for two people staying in your house. And they're going to leave quite soon.
Well, that must be you and Uncle Bernard. You're the only people staying in the house besides Dad and Mother and me.
Very queer. I can't imagine what surprise we'll get. Anyhow, we haven't thought of leaving you yet. Nothing's been said about our going. Perhaps I'm not getting it right, after all.
Go on, tell me some more. You've missed a really important thing. Wasn't there anything about an engagement for me?
Not a sign of one.
Well, that's where they're wrong, and it just shows you, because I'm really engaged now, and I'll be properly engaged tonight.
Engaged? Oh, I am surprised.
You don't sound very pleasantly surprised, Aunt Lucy.
You must know I'm not.
Why?
Because I think you're too young to be engaged. Is it that young man who was here the other night?
Yes, Harold Russ. And I'm bringing him here to supper tonight and he's going to ask Dad.
Only time to come, isn't it, when he's had all day to do it in?
He couldn't help it. He's been helping a friend of his to sell second-hand cars and he had to take a man out in one of them tonight. He wants to start in the second-hand car business for himself when he gets some capital.
Well, I can tell you one thing, Elsie. Your dad doesn't like him much.
I know that. And Dad doesn't really know him. You know what Dad is. If Harold was as dull as ditch water and lived here in the Burnham Grove or somewhere in Shooter's Green and went into the city in the morning and came home at night and potted about in a greenhouse, Dad would think he was marvellous. That's because Harold's smart and wants to get on, and one's laughed at the Burnham Grove and Shooter's Green.
Well, I don't see anything to laugh at.
Who is laughing at what?
I'm talking about Harold Russ, Uncle.
Oh, your boyfriend who was here the other night.
Yes, Dad doesn't like him because he once made fun of the Burnham Grove here in Shooter's Green.
Well, I see nothing to laugh at. It's a very nice, respectable, refined neighbourhood.
That's just it. It's all so deadly dull. All slippers and greenhouses. Nothing ever happens except that the people at Ben McCree have bought a new car or the woman at Heather Brow's going to have a baby.
Well, wait until you're going to have a baby. You'll find it exciting enough.
Oh, Elsie's like me. She doesn't care for this ultra-respectable, humdrum, suburban sort of existence. I don't mind paying it a visit like this just while I'm wondering what to do next, but I couldn't live in it. I want life. There's no life here. What is there here for a man who's been out east?
I can tell you what there is for a woman who's been out east. Three decent meals a day and a good night's sleep.
Well, I agree with Uncle Bernard. And I know Harold does too. What time is it?
Just after nine.
I promised to meet him at the tube station in 10 minutes. Time has flown.
What's on?
She's got herself engaged to that chap and she's bringing him here so he can ask George's permission.
Oh, that's it, is it?
Yes, and another thing. What he's after is borrowing some money from George to set him up in the second-hand car business.
How do you know?
I don't know. It's a good guess from something that Elsie let drop. Besides, that chap wouldn't bother asking her father's permission if he wasn't after something.
Well, how does that affect us?
Did you see that man?
Simpson, yes. And they won't look at me unless I can put down £450, and they only give me until Wednesday.
Well, then the sooner we ask for that £450, the better.
Mm. Shall I do it direct through him, or had you better try and work it through Dorothy?
Not through Dorothy.
Well, why not? After all, she is your sister.
Yeah, but I think she's getting a bit fed up with us. We've been here nearly a fortnight this time, and it's the third time we've stayed with him during this last year. And she knows you've been borrowing pretty freely from George. Yeah. How much have you had out of him now?
Well, you know.
Oh, no, I don't. I only know about the amounts you've mentioned to me, that's all.
Well, that's all there's been.
And the rest?
Oh, there might be perhaps 10 bob here and there. Just something and nothing.
Too many somethings and nothing. Dorothy may be my sister and easygoing, but I think she's had about enough these last few days. So you try George himself. Yeah. He's good-natured enough for anything.
So he ought to be. Nothing to worry about. Just stuck in the one business and let it keep him. Money for nothing. And you've got to look at him to see that it must be money for nothing. He doesn't know he's born.
He would have been married to you for a bit and then he would.
All right, all right. The point is, are we going to try him tonight?
We better try him now, before Elsie's darling Harold begins bothering.
Is Dorothy in?
No, she's visiting a friend of hers, Mrs. Reppington. She won't be back till after supper, so now's the time.
He's out there in the greenhouse, I suppose.
Yes, I'll call him in.
George? George!
All right, just coming. Hey, look at these. All fresh. What more do you want?
Charming. They look very nice, George.
Yes. Beautiful tomatoes. The special Redfern brand. Apply Ferndale Nursery's Laburnum Grove Shooter's Green.
Well, I'll call you in, George, because we just wanted to have a word with you while we're by ourselves.
Oh, I see. Well?
Go on, Burnett.
Yeah, it's like this, old man. I've just seen this chap Simpson I mentioned to you the other day. Only time I could see him, because he's out of London all the week, see. I think I told you the other day. It's a marvellous opportunity.
It doesn't sound like one to me. When there isn't much business, I don't see that you're going to sell a lot of business supplies.
Well, you are with these things. I've worked all that out, old man. Trust me. But the point is this. They say I can have that agency, exclusive agency, if I put down £450.
Put it down?
Or just put it down, that's all, old man. These people don't need the money, but their agent has to put down £450.
But you haven't got £450, have you, Bernard?
Well, of course I haven't. I haven't been as lucky as you have, old man.
How do you know I've been lucky?
He doesn't know. That's only a silly way of talking, George. We all know you've worked hard for your money.
Certainly. I've never suggested you hadn't. And I know you've lent me a bit already, George.
About £250, I think, Bernard.
Yeah. Well, what we feel is that if you simply let me have this £450 to put down.
You see, it's a wonderful chance for Bernard.
£450? Well, that's quite a bit of money, Bernard. I'll have to think about it.
Well, there isn't much time, and I don't want to lose the chance.
Oh, I quite understand that, old man. But £450 on top of the £250 you've already had is quite a lot of money. Look here. Ask me again after supper, and I'll give you an answer. I can't say fairer than that, can I?
What do you think?
That'll be all right. After supper, over a drink or two, I'll be able to touch him.
Yes, but what about this chap of Elsie's?
He'll have gone, then.
Listen, if they want to be alone with him before supper, it's better for us than if they wait.
That's right. Leave him to it, then. No. After all, I got him first.
Yeah, this sounds like them.
Yes.
Harold, this is my Aunt Lucy. And my Uncle Bernard. Oh, but you've all met before, haven't you?
Yes. Last Tuesday, I think it was. What a lovely day it's been, hasn't it?
Yes, yes, hasn't it? Yes. I've seen a lot of it, too. I've been taking a fellow round in a car, trying to sell it to him.
Any luck?
Shouldn't be surprised.
How is business?
Not too good. How are things with you?
Well, just now I'm looking round.
Oh, yes, yes. I remember you telling me the other night. You've been out east, haven't you?
That's right, yes. Malay State, Singapore chiefly. Wish I'd never come back.
I'd love to travel. So would you, wouldn't you, Harold?
I wouldn't mind. Oh, I knock up and down a bit, you know.
And now you're going to pop the question to Dad, eh?
Hello. Who's been telling you?
Never mind, but we know. Don't we, Lucy?
Yes, we know.
And if you two want us to leave you to it, just say the word.
All right, thanks, but I think we'll wait a bit.
If a proper opportunity presents itself.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Radfern.
Oh, good evening.
Listen, if they want to be alone with him before supper, it's better for us than if they wait.
That's right, leave him to it, then. After all, I got in first.
Yeah, this sounds like them.
Yes.
Harold, this is my Aunt Lucy and my Uncle Bernard. But you've all met before, haven't you?
Yes. Last Tuesday, I think it was.
What a lovely day it's been, hasn't it?
Yes, hasn't it? Yes. I've seen a lot of it, too. I've been taking a fellow round in a car, trying to sell it to him.
Any luck? Shouldn't be surprised. Yeah. How is business?
Not too good. How are things with you?
Well, just now I'm looking round.
Oh, yes. I remember you telling me the other night. Been out east, haven't you?
That's right, yes. Malay State, Singapore, chiefly. Wish I'd never come back.
I'd love to travel. So would you, wouldn't you, Harold?
I wouldn't mind. Oh, I knock up and down a bit, you know.
And now you're going to pop the question to Dad, eh?
Hello? Who's been telling you?
Never mind, but we know. Don't we, Lucy?
Yes, we know.
And if you two want us to leave you to it, just say the word.
All right, thanks. But I think we'll wait a bit.
If a proper opportunity presents itself.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Radfern.
Oh, good evening. And there's another tomato making three.
Oh, that's due for supper.
You see, Auntie, that's a surprise in the fortune. What did I tell you? Dad and his three tomatoes.
Oh, you've been telling fortunes again, have you? Don't you know it's unlucky to read the cards on Sunday?
Oh, that's just superstition.
Of course it is. It's all superstition, isn't it? You might as well be thoroughly superstitious while you're at it. And what do the cards say tonight?
A great surprise for Elsie. And she's going on a long journey quite soon.
Oh?
Well, I wouldn't mind. Everybody's so smug and settled down and dull here and so pleased with themselves.
Well, why shouldn't they be pleased with themselves? They've got nice, peaceful homes.
Yes, and greenhouses.
What do you want us to have? Elephants and tigers and a scenic railway?
But it's all so...
Suburban?
Yes, Harold, suburban.
Well, that's all right to me. When your mother and I came here, we thought we'd got somewhere. That's why we were so pleased with ourselves and ready to lead a nice, quiet life.
Well, that's all right for you, George. You've always led that sort of life, but give me adventure.
Oh, and since when?
I know what he means. I'm just the same.
I am, too.
Well, I'm not. You know, you don't get this sort of life handed to you on a plate.
What do you mean, Dad?
I mean this. Though you get all this handed to you on a plate, given free, gratis and for nothing, I don't.
I don't see what you're driving at.
Now, listen. Here's Shooter's Grip. Very clean, very respectable, brighter than new pin. And here's the Burnham Grove, one of its best roads, very quiet, very select, best type of semi-detached villas. Ben McCree, Craigie Don, Monrepoe, four nations, you see. Nice little houses, nice people, quiet, respectable, no scandals. No screams in the night.
That's it. You know it all right, Dad.
Gosh, yes, Mr. Radfern.
Yes, I know it, but you don't. Because all this has been handed to you on a plate, you think it's been handed to everybody else.
Well, hasn't it?
No, there are chaps who sweated their guts out so they could settle down here. God knows what they've risked, some of them.
Well, George, I hope nobody shoots you tomorrow morning on your way to the city. I haven't noticed you running many risks.
Oh, me? Well, of course, I'm different.
Ah, you've been lucky.
I'm sure George has always worked hard, even if he has been safe and comfortable in his own business. Yes. Come on, Bernard.
What for? Certainly. Come on, then.
Well, what's the matter with those two?
They're leaving us alone because they know we want to talk to you.
Oh, I see.
It's like this, Mr. Radfern. Elsie and I...
Dad, we're engaged.
Well, we want to be.
Oh, I see. Have you told your mother yet, Elsie?
No, I'll tell her when she comes in after supper.
Naturally, I wanted to talk to you about it. We'd like to get married very soon.
What on?
Well, that's the point. Of course, I'd like to get a bit more settled first.
Let me see. Now, aren't you helping a friend of yours to sell second-hand cars just now?
Yes, well, of course, that's just while I'm looking round.
Oh, you're looking round, are you? Like your Uncle Bernard, Elsie. He's great on looking round.
Harold, why don't you talk to him properly?
The point is, Dad, we're engaged, and Harold knows of a second-hand car business he could buy if he only had some capital. Oh, father, who can that be?
Oh, probably Joe Fletton. I expected him to look in this evening.
Why does he want to come here at this time? He'd be coming in the middle of the night to ask about his greenhouse, too.
I shouldn't be surprised. Oh, just let him in.
Oh, all right.
Ah, it looks as if we'll have to postpone this little talk.
Oh, that's all right. We could talk it over after supper, perhaps.
Yes, perhaps we could. Well, it seems to me I'm going to be rather busy after supper tonight.
Huh?
By the way, you've never thought of becoming an agent for business supplies, have you?
No, not my line. But I do know a good car when I see one, and there's a business there just waiting to be picked up.
If only you can put some money down. Just put it down, eh?
That's all it amounts to. You see,
after supper...
Mr. Fletton, Dad.
Oh, sorry to be so late, Mr. Redfern. Oh, that greenhouse of mine's giving me a lot of trouble, and I just wanted to tip or two about...
Yeah, about your tomato plant. Yeah. Come on, then. I'll show you how I manage.
You can't give you a minute. This greenhouse business is a terrible hobby, I'll give you my word. Keeps you busy all the time. All the time.
I hope that chap's not going to stay for hours.
No, he won't stay long. He's an awful old nuisance, though. Comes here 2 or 3 times a week now to look at Dad's greenhouse. Oh, Harold, I hope it'll be all right.
Well, it ought to be. Only I don't think your father likes me much.
He will when he gets to know you better. Just a bit stupid, that's all.
I don't know that I'm very keen on him.
Oh, Dad's all right when you know him. He's dull, but he's rather nice. He'll always do anything for me. Mother, I'm frightened of. Dad's easy.
Oh, all alone?
Yes, you can come in. Mr. Fletton called and Dad's gone back into the greenhouse with him.
Can you imagine what your Dad sees in that man? Common, I call him.
Yes, looks like a bookie's clerk.
Oh, I've never seen a bookie's clerk.
Hello, hello.
Oh, all right, Bernard. You needn't stand there looking so silly. You can come in. I wonder if we could get ready for supper now.
Oh, no, that's a good idea.
Yes, why not?
Well, I was only thinking if the supper was here already, your father might take it into his head to ask that Mr. Fletton to stay, and we don't want that, too.
Good Lord, no.
No, don't let's have anybody else if we can help it.
Here, here.
But he won't stay. He never does. We can risk it.
Come on, then, Bernard. Don't just sit there. Hello, and we're setting the table.
All right, they're coming in.
Well. Getting ready for a feast.
Have a bite with us, Joe?
No, thank you, Mr. Redfern. Must be getting along. I'll look in tomorrow night, then.
Do. Any time after 8.
Nice weather we're having, isn't it? Well, good night, all.
Yes, good night.
Good night.
Common, I call him.
Getting ready for a feast.
Ah, that's a way to talk. Anyone think you've never seen anybody laying a supper table before?
Yes, he hasn't.
Never seen the world. That's his trouble.
Oh, he's just one of Dad's silly old men. Yeah. If it wasn't for the greenhouse, he wouldn't come here.
Well, if that's what you get when you keep greenhouses, I'm glad I don't keep one.
Harold, remember, you must get Dad's answer tonight.
Yes, I know, I know.
Bernard, don't forget, after supper...
Leave it to me.
Oh, supper ready? Good.
Look at those tomatoes.
Yeah. Homegrown on the premises. They light up the table.
If that's how you can go on about 3 tomatoes, I'm glad you don't grow pineapples. I don't know what would happen then.
Ham, tongue, salad, beer. Everything in its place. Just what I wanted.
Well, let's get started. Come on, everybody.
Now, you just pass me that big plate. Ah, oh, this ham, that looks good.
Oh, I expect it is good, Bernie. Yes. You know, I don't think there's a meal in the week I enjoy more than Sunday night supper, and I couldn't tell you why. Unless it's all so nice and peaceful.
Oh, you're all for it being nice and peaceful, aren't you, Dad?
I'm afraid I am. I'm not like you folk.
Don't count me with them. I don't want any adventures. I want to see a regular income arriving.
We don't like that. Yes, I believe you would. It's not so easy these days.
Yes, well, it's not so easy if you're straight. That's the point. I like money as much as the next man, but it has to be clean money.
Of course, I'm just the same. Won't touch it if it isn't straight.
Good gracious, I should think not.
Yes, I've had chances of the other kind. Packets of it.
No, Bernard, have you really?
Oh, yes, I have, George. But I've always turned it down. Tainted money.
Yeah, I've had my chances too. You get them in our business. But I'm the same as you.
It's the only thing to do, whatever happens, keep straight. Well, I'm glad to hear you fellas feel like that. I used to feel like it myself, in the old days.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean, Dad, in the old days?
I mean in the days when I used to be in the wholesale paper trade.
You're still in the wholesale paper trade.
How do you know I am?
Well, I've always understood you were.
But I'm not. Haven't been in it for several years.
Well, the firm's there in the office.
Oh, I'll keep them going. That's just a blind. Apart from us, will you, Elsie?
Well, I never knew you changed your business.
No? You know, I don't think this ham's as nice as the last. I must tell your mother about it, Elsie.
Listen, Dad. Does Mother know you're not in the paper business anymore?
No, she doesn't. And I don't want a word of any of this repeated to her. She's a bit old-fashioned in some ways. It might give her a shock. Now, you can ask me any questions you like. I'll answer them truthfully, but not a word to her. If you can't promise that, we'll change the subject.
Oh, I promise.
All right to me.
Honest to God?
Yeah.
Well, that's settled then. Not a word to her. Now, what is it you'd like to know?
Dad, when did you leave your old business?
Oh, you remember about 4 or 5 years ago, we were very hard up.
Well, yeah, we didn't go away for the holidays.
It was. We were on enough rocks without going to the seaside.
Yes. Good
one. We might easily have been sold up. Well, that was when I finished with the wholesale paper trade.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, I'd struggled with the business, slaved at it. We had a good little connection in the fine quality trade.
Yeah.
Things got quieter and quieter. And somebody wanted that, a big firm. They made me an offer. I didn't like it, or the chap who made it. I turned it down. So this big firm did me in.
Oh.
Never mind how, but they did.
Right.
Well, they won all right. Clever chap, that. He's been knighted since, the dirty swine.
And then what?
Well, having given honesty a fair chance, I thought I'd try the other thing.
The other thing?
Yeah.
You don't mean dishonesty.
I do.
You're putting out there.
No, certainly not.
And you're going to tell me you're deliberately dishonest?
That's what I'm telling you.
But, Dad, it's ridiculous. You're talking as if you were a crook.
Well, I am a crook.
Crook?
Yes, a crook. A criminal. An enemy of society.
Oh, Dad, you're being funny.
Of course he is. That'll do now, George. We've all bought it.
I'm perfectly serious, Bernard. This isn't a joke. Have a little more salad, Elsie.
No, thanks, Dad. Don't get very hungry.
Oh, now, come along, none of that. Never let anything put you off your food. That's one of my mottos. What do you say, Harold?
Yes, Mr. Radfern. Well, I think that's a very good idea.
George Radfern, you don't look like a crook to me.
Yes, but you can't judge by appearances. Now, why do you think Joe Fletton comes here?
You mean that man who comes to talk to you about greenhouses?
You must be innocent if you think Joe Fletton knows anything about greenhouses. You've only got to look at him to see he's no gardener.
I suppose he's a crook, too.
Oh, of course he is. Very old hand, Joe. He works under me in the same organisation. A little more tongue, Lucy.
I can't eat what I've got.
Dad, do you really mean all this?
Of course I mean it. Every penny that's come into this house for the last few years has been dishonestly earned.
My God.
Tainted money. You've eaten it, you've drunk it, it's clothed you and housed you, taken you to pictures, sent you to the seaside. But if I'd gone on trying to make an honest living, I don't know where you'd have been now, Elsie. As it is, look at us. So nicely off. Harold here, and your Uncle Bernard here, both hoping I'll lend them several hundred pounds each on a very doubtful security.
Yeah, I say,
but
I really...
Dad, what do you do?
Do you burgle places?
Burgle places? Certainly not. Well, do I look as if I burgle places?
No, you don't. And then you don't look like a crook at all to me.
You're not. Are you, Dad?
I've told you, I am. And one slip, just one slip, that's all. I'd be for it.
Prison?
Yes, and a good long spell of it, too.
Dad!
But look here, George. What do you do?
Well, you might describe it as a private policy of inflation.
I don't know what that means.
Neither do I.
Do you, Harold?
Oh, I'm ready for a little of that stewed fruit now, Elsie. Here, let's put these plates on the side.
Stewed fruit?
That's it. Stewed fruit. What about it?
This is no time for stewed fruit.
Yes, of course it is. Well, when do you want it?
Oh, she doesn't mean that, old man. As a matter of fact, she's very fond of stewed fruit.
Good. And mind you, this is real garden rhubarb.
I don't want garden rhubarb. I want the truth.
All right, Lucy. You shall have the truth.
And what about this inflation business?
Well, a lot of people think this depression in trade is chiefly due to the fact there isn't enough money in circulation. Like playing a game with counters and finding you haven't got enough counters to go round. Well, our organisation, my associates and myself, have been quietly busy these last few years,
find a remedy this unhappy state of things. Started in America, forging and counterfeiting bonds and notes, and then developed here. And just lately, the American end's been doing badly, almost stopped. But we're doing quite nicely here, and sometimes I think that things in England would have been worse if it hadn't been for us.
Forging and counterfeiting bonds and notes, my hat.
And you're mixed up in it?
I'm engaged in it, not mixed up in it. I was able to join the organisation at first because I happened to have a supply of the right sort of paper. Well, since then, I've been on the staff. My job now is distribution. Well, that's what takes me away, of course. I'm off to Birmingham early tomorrow morning.
What? You're going to Birmingham on this crooked work?
Why not? If I can do it in London, I can do it in Birmingham. There's nothing peculiarly sacred about Birmingham, is there?
But are the police after you?
I should think we've given Scotland Yard its biggest and most worrying case for years.
But I don't see how you've managed to go on so long without being found out.
Partly luck and partly good management. Of course, you can't really tell what's happening on the other side. They may have got the net out. Maybe closing in on us now.
Oh, what?
That's the telephone. I'll answer it. Have you got a bit of cheese there for me? Hello? No, I'm not. I can't help it. You've got the wrong number. Wants to know if I'm the North London Dogs Hospital.
Oh, give me such a fright.
Well, I'm sorry, but after all, you wanted a bit of excitement, didn't you?
George, that might have been somebody who was after you, tracking you down.
Yes, it might.
Then again, it might not. If tracking people down consists of ringing them up and asking if they're the Dogs Hospital, well, we could all be Sherlock Holmeses.
And after all, I don't suppose they'd think of looking for crooks of any kind in a place like Shooter's Green.
Oh, yes, they would. They haven't got your ideas, Elsie. People who break the law have got to live somewhere. Why not in Shooter's Green and Laburnum Grove? They took away that solicitor who used to live at Stella Maris. Gave him a couple of years. Oh. That was a start. And probably there are one or two more of us in Laburnum Grove will have to go yet. Well, what's the matter, Harold? Something upset you?
I must be going.
Harold!
No, I'm sorry. I must be going.
Well, what about that little talk we were going to have? Another time?
But Harold, you can't go like this.
No, I'm sorry, but it's getting late and I'm feeling very tired.
Oh, but Harold!
Look, leave me alone. I tell you, I've got to go. Good night.
Harold!
Are they gone?
Yes. And I'm going to bed. Good night.
Listen, Elsie.
No, no more now. I can't, Doug. Good night.
Poor kid. I'm afraid she's got more than she bargained for.
It's all got more than we bargained for, if you ask me. Even the great adventure of Bernard here.
Yeah, look here, George. For God's sake, tell us the truth now.
I'm telling you the truth. I've not been in the wholesale paper trade for the last 4 years. Everything here comes out of the proceeds of illegal and criminal actions. Tainted money, Bernard. Oh, and you've been enjoying it for some time. Well, I believe you'd like a good slice more of it, wouldn't you? Tainted money. Ill-gotten gains. Mind you're not an accessory.
Oh, I'll see to that.
This is upsetting my stomach. Every time I see a policeman now, I'll be frightened out of my life.
Oh, forget about it.
Forget about it?
What's that?
Well, I can tell you what that is. That's Dorothy. She's forgotten her front door key again. Now, don't forget, not a word to her.
Here, I'm off upstairs.
Yes, so am I. I couldn't face her tonight.
Let's get out of the way first.
Well, go on then. Hurry up.
Hello, Dad. Sorry to ring the bell, but I forgot my key.
That's all right. I thought it must be you.
Have a good evening.
Yes, thanks, dear. Much the same as usual.
Hello. Where is everybody?
Well, I think Elsie had a bit of a tiff with that young man of hers. Went off to bed early to have a little bit of a cry about it.
Do you think I ought to go up?
No, leave her alone. She'll be all right.
Well, where are Bernard and Lucy?
They've just gone to bed.
They went early.
Yes, I think they must have wanted to have a talk about something.
Well, I must say, Dad, though Lucy is my own sister, I wouldn't be heartbroken if they'd gone upstairs to talk about leaving us. And I know you wouldn't either.
No, I'd get over it. Here, I'll give you a hand with these.
No, you sit down and smoke your pipe in peace, Dad. You've got to get up early in the morning to get yourself off, haven't you?
Yes, early train to Birmingham.
Well, then. You know, Dad, I sometimes think you're a bit too quiet and easygoing, but dear me, Mrs. Reffington's been letting drop one or two things about her husband. And I was thinking on the way back, I ought to be thankful I've got a nice, honest, sleepy old thing like you.
Now you're talking.
Morning, Elsie.
Morning, Uncle.
Hey, thought I heard somebody moving about down here.
It must have been me.
Of course it was you. But you're usually the last downstairs, not the first. What made you get up so early?
I couldn't sleep. Why are you up, Uncle?
Well, I couldn't sleep either. And I suddenly remembered your dad was going to Birmingham early this morning.
Oh, I thought I'd get up and make his breakfast.
That's a new idea, isn't it?
Yes.
Those is boots?
Yes.
Ah, well, they could do with a bit of a rub.
I was going to do them.
Oh, no. I'll give them a bit of a rub. The pass of time. Get me the polishing outfit, will you, Elsie?
Yes. I'll make a good job of these.
They'll amuse the dad. What are you giving him for breakfast?
Boiled eggs, they're easiest.
How does he like his eggs boiled?
Can't remember.
Oh, you ought to remember how your own dad likes his eggs boiled.
Do you remember how your dad liked his eggs boiled?
I know, silly Elsie, that's quite different. Now, you're a girl. And besides, such a long time since I lived with my old governor.
Was he nice?
No, he was honestly dull.
I thought my dad was dull. I wish he was now.
Well, he isn't.
I know. Uncle, do you think it's really true what Dad told us last night?
Yes, must be.
But, Dad, just think of it.
It's no good telling me to think of it, Elsie. I've been thinking about it and talking about it half the night.
I've hardly slept a wink.
I'm not surprised.
I got so frightened in the middle of the night.
Well, if you ask me, you've got something to be frightened about.
Listen, Uncle, if they caught him, would he really be sent to prison?
I should think he would. He'd get years and years. Penal servitude.
But he's never done anything before.
What difference does that make when he's been doing this all the time? This is a big job. They'd drop on him like a ton of bricks.
Would they?
Go for him, tooth and nail, yes. Tooth and nail. A ton of bricks. Penal servitude for years and years and years.
It's awful.
Yeah, well, speaking as a man of the world who's seen the world, I call that a well-polished boot. It's pretty serious. Pretty serious.
And they've only got to catch him.
Just got to lay their hands on him once. That's all.
Oh, Auntie, you made me jump.
Yeah, I dare say. Anything's enough to make anybody jump in this house. What are you up so early for?
I'm getting Dad's breakfast ready.
Well, I thought I'd just come down to see if I could do anything for him. And what are you doing, Bernard?
Oh, just giving George's boots a bit of a rub.
Be careful. You might be cleaning my boots next.
Yeah.
Is the tea made yet? But I must say, I can do with a cup.
What a night.
We know, we know.
She doesn't know, does she? I haven't had it a night for years. Talked and talked about it all and thought about it all. And then when I did get a bit of sleep, I had a dream about policemen. Oh, hundreds of policemen.
Oh, don't.
Now, what do you want to start that for first thing in the morning?
Start what?
Talking about policemen.
Well, they still exist, don't they? I know I shan't be able to look a policeman in the face.
Now, listen, you're not to tell anybody.
Not likely.
As if we should. It's bad enough knowing about it without telling anybody.
But not even Mother. Don't forget.
You're not going to tell me all this has been going on all this time and your mother doesn't know anything about it.
She doesn't know anything about it.
I can't understand why. She's my own sister and she never seemed to me to miss much. And if she doesn't know, she ought to. If your uncle here had been up to any game like that, I'd have known all about it.
You might, and then again you might not.
What's that?
I said you might, and then again you might not.
Oh? And what's your funny game been, then?
I didn't say there had been any funny game. I only said that if there had been, you might know, and then again...
I might not. I heard you. Well, there isn't any might about it. I'd have known. I don't see how George has kept it from Dorothy all this time.
Ah, well, that's where he has been so clever, keeping it from her and from us and from everybody. That is where his cleverness comes in.
Yes, I suppose he must have been terribly clever all the time. And I never thought he was.
Ah, I've always had my own ideas about him.
Well, his being clever was never one of them.
Oh, yes, it was. I've had my suspicions sometimes.
That's news to me.
The kettle.
He's got a lot of brains, George has. Yes. Some of the things he said to me showed that. He didn't bother saying them to you.
I see.
Good.
Well, it isn't good. And let me tell you, he never struck me as being clever.
Yeah, but what do you know about it?
I know this about it, that he'd have been clever if he kept all this to himself. Bad enough turning us, but when he went and told that young fellow of Elsie's, is that clever?
Yes, if he wanted to get rid of him, and I believe that is what he was after.
Yes, and where's that young fellow now?
He's better if he's got any sense.
You know what I mean. What's to prevent him going to the police and telling them?
We had that out last night.
Well, let's have it out again this morning.
I tell you, he's got no real evidence, and if he went to the police, they'd laugh at him. Besides, he wouldn't go, would you?
Me? Don't be silly. I don't want to see a policeman for weeks.
I know he likes his tea strong anyhow.
Well, that's a good thing, because by the time he comes down, it'll have stewed itself as black as ink. I like my tea fresh.
You shall have a cup in a minute, Auntie. I expect Dad will be down soon. Oh, now I know he's so clever, I wish I didn't. I wish now I hadn't said he was dull and stupid. I wish he was dull and stupid again.
How could he be dull again if he never was?
You know what I mean.
Oh, don't bother with your uncle. He doesn't know what anybody means this morning.
I believe I started it last night by saying this was a dull and stupid place where nothing happened.
I dare say you did. You and your young man between you.
Don't be so silly. How could they start it when it's been going on for years?
It was all in the cards.
It was all in the cards. Why didn't you tell us then?
Elsie? Didn't I say your dad was going to give us a big surprise?
What's the good of telling us we're going to get a big surprise? We don't say what the surprise is.
If I knew what it was, it wouldn't be a surprise, would it, clever head?
The point is, if I hadn't started talking like that last night, we shouldn't have known all about this. And it's knowing about it that's so awful. I can't help thinking about it all the time.
Same with me. Just the same.
Besides, there's Harold.
Oh, yes. How's he going to take it?
You saw how he took it last night.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Hello. What's all this? Three of you up.
Good morning, George.
Good morning, Bernard. Trust I see you well.
Oh, yeah, thank you, mate.
And you, Lucy. Morning, Elsie.
Morning, Dad.
How did you sleep last night, George?
How did I sleep? I slept like a top, I always do. Don't you?
I didn't last night. None of us did.
Oh? Well, why have you all got up so early?
Thought I'd get your breakfast ready, Dad.
Oh, very kind of you, Elsie. Very kind of you. And,
Well, old man, I thought I'd just look down and see if there was anything I could do, like to make myself useful at times, you know. You were going off early.
Aren't those my boots?
Yes. Matter of fact, I've just been giving them a bit of a rub.
You've given them a very good rub, Bernard. Thank you. What about you, Lucy?
Well, you didn't thank me. I came down because I couldn't sleep. I wanted a cup of tea.
Quite right. Have you had a cup of tea?
No.
Elsie, then give your Aunt Lucy a cup of tea, quick.
Yes, Dad.
Well. My boots. Tea all ready. I call this being waited on hand and foot.
Dad, how do you like your eggs boiling?
Oh, I haven't touched a boiled egg for the last 2 years, Elsie. They don't agree with me.
Shows how much I've been noticing things, doesn't it?
Oh, never mind.
What will you have for breakfast then, Dad?
Want a good breakfast if you're travelling, George.
Oh, well, I always breakfast on the train. It helps to pass the time.
Oh, but I've poured the tea.
Well, that's all right. Time for a cup of tea. Very nice.
Where is it you're going, George?
Oh, I'm going to Birmingham for the day. On business.
Business?
That's what I said. Business. You don't think I go to Birmingham for pleasure, do you?
Yes, but there's business and business.
You mean there's your own business and other people's business?
No, I don't.
You know what she means, Dad.
No, I don't.
But, Dad, you told us last night.
Oh, so I told you last night, did I?
You know very well you spilt it all last night. George can't get out of it now. He knows.
Just a minute. That is a very good rule. If you want to have a nice,
quiet, comfortable existence.
Like you, I suppose, George.
Yes, like me. It's a rule I've just invented. Never mind about that. Somebody's got to invent the rule sometime.
Yes, sir, quite right, old man.
Now, the rule's this. Never think or talk on Monday morning about something that's been said on Sunday night.
Oh, Dad, that's silly.
No, it isn't. On Monday morning, you must start with a clean slate, because you're beginning a new week.
Did you say a clean slate?
That's what I said.
Well, how you can talk like that, George Radburn, after all the things you told us last night, with the police perhaps ready to march in here any minute and take us all off. What's that?
The postman.
I'll go.
Is there anything I can do for you, George?
No, I don't think so, thank you, Bernard. You've done enough. Now, look at these boots. You mustn't spoil me just because I don't make an honest living.
Two for you, Dad.
Thank you.
This is mine.
Nothing for us, then.
Well, what should there be for us?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
Well, what is it?
It's from Harold. He said he won't... Oh, it's all over.
Oh, never mind, Elsie.
Oh, you don't understand.
Listen, Elsie, honestly, he's not worth bothering about.
Oh, it's all your fault. You've done it.
Everything.
Now, will anybody tell me what's happening in this house? Elsie up early, you two up, Elsie crying. What in the name of wonder is it all about?
Leave Elsie alone, Mother. It's that blathering, weak-kneed, spineless young man of hers, Harold.
What's he done?
Well, she's just had a letter from him. They've had some sort of quarrel. He's just broken it off.
Oh, so that's it. I'd like to say something to that young man. What does he want to make her miserable like that for? Who's he, I should like to know?
Listen, Mother, don't say anything to her. Leave her alone.
Well, that's all right, but I don't want her crying her eyes out all day.
Well, couldn't you take her out for the day? Into town, shopping or something?
Well, I don't see how I can today, Dad. I've a lot to do.
Oh. Well, you're not doing anything, are you, this morning, Lucy?
No, just enjoying myself, that's all.
Well, enjoy yourself a bit more. And you and Bernard, take Elsie into the West End. Look at the shops. Go to the pictures.
And see one of these crook films, I suppose.
That's it. Yeah, find a good crook film. Be a nice change after this dull suburb. Take these. Help her to spend them.
All right. I suppose...
Go on, they won't bite you.
It's too much, Dad.
Oh, let her spend it.
Plenty more where these came from, I expect.
Well, that's a nice way to talk, Lucy.
I beg your pardon.
You'll go and make Elsie worse. I'm sure she doesn't know the value of money as it is. The way she talks sometimes, you'd think that all you have to do is to pick up money in parcels.
Indeed.
Good idea, that. Money in parcels. What do you say, Bernard?
Yes, that's quite...
Better than looking round, eh? Wish I knew where to pick some up.
You ought to try Birmingham.
Oh, I think I will. Oh, time to be off, too. If anybody wants me, you can say I'll be back about 8.
Thank you.
Joe Fletton may call round. If he does, ask him to wait.
What, Joe Fletton again? He'll never be out of the house soon.
No, these greenhouses do seem to give a lot of trouble, don't they?
You're right, Lucy, they do. Well, have a good day, and keep Elsie quiet.
Yes.
Now, let's go and earn an honest penny now.
A what?
I said an honest penny. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, dear. I don't know what brought you down so early this morning, Lucy, but you seem to have got out of the wrong side of the bed.
Oh, and why?
You know why, Lucy.
Oh, you be quiet. And Dorothy, what's the matter with you?
Well, George gives you £10 to take Elsie out with, and if you ask me, it's a lot too much. And then you go and stare at him and at the money without a word of thanks, as if
what?
I don't know, as if he'd stolen it or something instead of having worked hard for years for it.
I suppose he has worked hard for years for it.
Now, what is the matter with her? She's very queer this morning.
Well, she didn't sleep so well last night.
Perhaps she could do with a change.
Oh, no, it's a bit too much noise, perhaps. Not enough air.
There's plenty of air in this house.
Ah, yes, but it all depends on what you're used to. I mean, now... when we were out in Singapore.
Just a minute, Bernard. You had a great time in Singapore, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Great time, great time.
Well, there's one thing you seem to forget about Singapore.
Oh, no, never forget anything about Singapore.
No, there's one thing you forget about it.
What's that?
You forget that it's still there, waiting for you.
Yes, he's gone to Birmingham on business, just for the day.
I see. Do you happen to know what time he'll be back tonight?
We said about 8 o'clock.
Then if I called in sometime after 8, I'd catch him in.
Oh, sure to. I don't think he'll be going out again. It'll be either the greenhouse or a book for him tonight.
Very wise of him too, Mrs. Radstone. I wish they'd let me have more nice quiet evenings at home like that.
Oh, my husband's always been quite a home bird, you know. His business takes him out, of course, and sometimes away too. But the minute he's back, all he wants are his slippers and his pipe and a book or his greenhouse.
Let me see, he's in the paper trade, isn't he?
Yes, paper for printing and writing on, and chiefly very fine quality papers.
Good enough for, what shall we say, banknotes, eh?
Well, I dare say, but I don't know exactly.
Got an office in a warehouse somewhere in the city, I suppose.
Oh, yes, it's just off Clock Fair, you know, by Smithfield. Why I'm talking like this to a complete stranger on the doorstep, I really don't know. You didn't give me your name, did you?
No, I'm sorry. Here's my card. Oh.
Detective Inspector Stack, Criminal Investigation Department, News Club. Good gracious. Are you from Scotland Yard, a detective?
I am. Do I look like one?
Well, I'm sure I don't know. You'd better come in.
Thank you.
I've never seen anybody from Scotland Yard before. You certainly don't look like a policeman.
Well, that's something to be thankful for.
But what do you want with my husband?
I'm only making a few inquiries. And Mr. Radfern's name was given to me as one of the people who might be able to give me a little information.
Well,
it's just one of those dull, routine commercial cases.
Oh, well, I'm sure if my husband can help you at all, he will. I'll leave your card on the table here, and he'll be sure to see it when he comes in. It'll amuse him meeting somebody from Scotland Yard, because he's very fond of reading these detective stories. He's just made me read one with him.
Well, I understand Mr. Radfern had some dealings with one of the firms in question some years ago, so I thought he might be able to give me a little information. And then he gets up and down the country a good deal, I think, doesn't he?
Yes, he has to get about.
Well, Birmingham, for instance. Of course, that's not very far, is it?
No, but that's about the nearest place. Sometimes he goes to Liverpool and Newcastle.
And up into Scotland, I expect.
Yes, he has to go to Glasgow quite a lot.
Has he really? Still, that's not so troublesome as having to go abroad, after all.
Oh, he has to do that sometimes, too.
Yes, well, I'm not surprised. I used to have a friend in the same line of business, and he used to have to go quite often to Amsterdam and Brussels.
Well, that's just where my husband has to go sometimes, Amsterdam and Brussels. He probably knows this friend of yours. You must ask him if you're calling in tonight.
I will. I won't detain you any longer, Mrs. Radfern. I'll look in again tonight, if Mr. Radfern won't mind having a private little chat with me.
Oh, I'm sure he won't. Just a minute. That's my daughter and my sister and her husband coming back. Do just let me introduce you, because they'll be terribly interested in meeting a detective from Scotland Yard. Now, you three, I'll bet you anything you'll never guess who this is.
Nobody I know.
The face is familiar.
No, I can't guess.
Well, this is Detective Inspector Stack from Scotland Yard. Well, it didn't look like that. If he'd come to lock you all up, you couldn't look worse. I'm sorry, Inspector, if they've all been up to something. I don't know what it is.
Oh, that's nothing. We get used to people looking at us like that. Well, I'll call again tonight to see Mr. Radford.
Uh-huh.
Good afternoon. I'll see myself out.
Goodbye. Well, I must say, you're a fine lot. No wonder he didn't think you were a lot of crooks or something. What's the matter?
Mother, was he really from Scotland Yard and wanting to see Dad?
Of course.
Oh, my God. Lucy, we're packing.
What do you mean you're packing? What's the matter?
Arresting and prison and penal servitude's the matter.
Oh, Mother.
Come on, Lucy, we're getting out of this.
Oh, no, you're not, Bernard. Not until you've told me what's wrong. What have you done?
Me? I've done nothing.
No, don't start trying to blame it on us now.
Blame what on you?
You better get Elsie to tell you. We're going to pack.
No, you're not. Nobody's leaving this room until I understand exactly what this is all about. Now, who's going to tell me?
Go on, Elsie. You tell her.
Last night, just before you came back, Dad told us that he hadn't been in the paper business for years, but that he'd been a crook.
He told you and Lucy and Bernard here?
And Harold.
Oh. He told Harold too, did he?
Yes, and he said he'd been a sort of a crook for years and that he worked for a big international gang and that they swindle banks in America and here and in France and all over.
Counterfeiting notes and forging bonds.
All sorts of dangerous, dirty tricks.
And the detectives had been trying for years to track down this gang, but they couldn't manage to. But if he was caught, he'd get years and years of prison.
And so he would, too.
And that's what he told all the four of you,
yes.
Is it?
And, Mother, it's true. And that's why he has to keep going to various places up and down the country and abroad. And that's why Mr. Fletton comes here such a lot, because he's working for this gang, too. And he doesn't really know anything about greenhouses. That's...
It's just a blind. Just a blind. He's taken everybody in up to now, but this time, oh, he's for it.
And he asked you not to tell me.
Yes, said you didn't know and weren't to know. Though I must say, how he's kept it from you all this time beats me.
Oh, that's quite simple.
Is he?
Oh, certainly it is. I can explain in 3 seconds why he's never told me and yet told you all about it last night.
Why?
Because he knew very well that you were 4 silly fools who'd believe any nonsense he told them. And he knew very well that he couldn't come out with that silly stuff in front of me. And as for your Harold, I know what Dad was trying to do to him, just scaring him away. And is that why you had that letter from him this morning, Elsie? Breaking it off? And why you cried your eyes out?
Yes, of course.
And now, I suppose, you thought that inspector had come to arrest him. If you want to know, that inspector was only making some inquiries about a commercial case.
That's what he said.
Oh, have some sense, Bernard, even if you have been to Singapore. What? Do you think I'd be calmly talking about it like this if I thought for a minute that Dad had ever done anything wrong?
Well, you don't know he hasn't.
We heard him last night, remember? Not you.
I know that story he told you last night was all nonsense. Just made up to tease you and frighten you.
Oh, Mother, do you think it was?
I tell you, I know it was.
But you can't prove it.
I can. You see this book? It's called The Great Bank Mystery. I've just read it, and Dad's just read it. And if you want to know all the rest of that story about the international gang of bank swindlers and bond forgers that started in America, you'll find it in this book.
Well, I'll be damned.
Oh, Mother!
Well, that's a nice trick. Frightening people with a lot of silly stuff out of a detective tale. Oh, I've had an awful day. Every time I've set eyes on a policeman, I've shivered. And when I found that detective here, my heart stopped and my blood went cold. I might easily be ill after this.
Well, I must say, it's not my idea of a joke.
Evidently not, Bernard. But it seems to be George's, and very well he did it, too, though he'll hear something from me about it when he comes back.
Oh, I don't care now. Everything's different. It's been awful. I'll never say anybody's dull again. Never, never, never. I don't care how dull they are. It's all nice and safe and sensible again now. Lovely.
Well, she's feeling a lot better already. It was silly of George to frighten her like that. Poor Elsie.
And what about us, Dorothy? Weren't we frightened too?
I've been worried to death about George ever since he told us that story.
So have I. I do think, Dorothy, that George owes us some consideration after this silly trick he's played on us.
You do, eh?
Yes, I do. It's not been as pleasant as he might have been these last few days. Well, I hope you realise now that the least thing he can do is to help Bernard buy that little business we've talked about.
Well, seeing you've mentioned it, Lucy, I might as well say that's what I feel too. Mm. He's had his fun.
And now he must pay for it. Is that it?
Well, you can't put it like that.
But you know our position, Dorothy. If George can let me have a temporary loan of a few hundreds, and we can stay on here until the deal goes through...
Oh, I don't think you can object to that, Dorothy. And you can tell him how much he's upset me with that silly joke of his.
Just a minute. I want to understand you properly. You both feel that after this, I ought to persuade George to let you have the money, and I also ought to ask you to stay on until you've bought the business you're after. Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
Well, Lucy, and Bernard, I'm going to tell you straight what I think about it. I think you're both the limit.
What?
And I see now that Dad was right about you and I was wrong.
What do you mean?
I mean that he was right in not wanting to put up with you any longer. You've stayed here and borrowed money from him too often. He'd had enough of it when he told you that story last night, and now I've had enough of it too.
But here, half a minute, what have we done?
You showed me quite plainly that you don't really care tuppence about him, and that you're only here to get what you can out of him. Only a few minutes ago, when you thought he was in trouble and might be arrested, what did you do? All you thought about was yourselves. You wanted to pack up and go at once. I had to stop you going out of that door. Well, now I'm not stopping you. You can pack and go as soon as you like.
That's a nice thing to say to a sister, isn't it?
No, it isn't. But that's how I feel, Lucy.
Well, more shame to you. Come on, Lucy. We'll pack. Yeah. I'm not staying where I'm not wanted. Ha ha! I'd laugh now if the old boy really was a wrong one all the time.
Well, you'll have to find something else to laugh at, Bernard.
That oughtn't to be difficult. Here.
Is anything the matter?
Excuse me, Elsie.
Are they going?
Yes. I told them to. They've been sponging on Dad long enough, and they're not going to get anything else out of him. Wanted to bolt as soon as they thought he was in trouble.
I'm going to phone Harold to say it was all Dad's nonsense.
He broke it off, didn't he? After what he heard last night.
Yes.
Another one that was found out.
Well, Mother, you can't blame him for not wanting to be engaged to the daughter of a crook.
Can't you?
No, of course you can't.
Can't you?
No. Oh, yes, I suppose you can.
Of course you can blame him. I can see Dad's right about your Harold. He's a weak-kneed, shuffling boy. Just out for what he can safely get.
Oh, you've no right to say that, Mother. I don't blame Harold, really, for breaking it off. Anyhow, he deserves another chance. I'll tell him it was all a joke.
If you do, I'll be ashamed of you.
What for?
Well, where's your pride?
See where my pride comes in. After all, it was a joke.
This is where your pride comes in, or ought to come in. He's proved already that he's not sufficiently fond of you to marry you, whatever your father is.
Don't, Mother.
And now you want to tell him that it's all right. If it was me, I wouldn't have him on those terms. You get him here. Give him a last chance if you like, but don't tell him that last night was a joke. Let him think it's still serious, and then ask him if he still wants to break off the engagement, finally. That'll be a fair test.
All right, Mother, I'll do that.
Hello.
Is Elsie in?
Yes, she'll be down in a minute. I suppose you'd better come in.
Oh, tell her.
She's, helping my wife to finish her packing.
What, are you off?
Yes. Night train to Scotland, Dundee. Got a brother there. Nothing for me down here, you know.
Huh?
Oh, no. Not the right sort of opening. They tried to persuade me to take an agency for business supplies. Exclusive agency, too. A chap called Simpson. I said, well, what's the good of business supplies when business itself is so bad? That's stumped him. Yeah, well, mind you, there is an opening there. In a small way, might suit a youngster like yourself. But it's no good to me. So I'm on the move. I like to be on the move, always did. Bit of a rumour, you know, old man. A bit of a rumour.
I know why you're going, and I don't blame you.
Very good of you, old man, but I don't know what you're talking about.
If I had any sense, I wouldn't be here either.
Of course you wouldn't. Marriage is a mug's game. You can take that from me.
I'm not talking about marriage.
And why shouldn't you be here? Ah, you mean because of what he told us last night?
Yes, of course.
And you still believe that?
Yes, don't you?
Of course not. That's all a joke. A leg pulling, that's all. We're always pulling one another's legs here, you know. Sometimes I pull his leg, sometimes he pulls mine. And last night it was his turn.
It was his turn, all right.
And he's taken you in all this time. Well, you surprise me. I thought you were smart. In the second-hand car trade, too.
Well, what was it, a joke?
Yes. It's all rot. He got it out of a book. There's the book.
Sure.
Well, I know a book when I see one.
Yes, but I mean, are you sure it did come from that book and it was a joke?
I keep telling you, don't I? If you don't want to believe me, don't. It doesn't matter to me.
No, well, all right, I do believe you. Yeah. Does Elsie know?
Yes, she knows.
Oh, I suppose she's asked me to come so she can tell me. Well, she could have done that on the telephone.
Perhaps she isn't going to tell you.
Well, of course she's going to tell me. Well, why shouldn't she?
She might be going to try you out.
Try me? Oh, pretend it wasn't a joke. Keep the old man's game up for him, eh?
Ah, that's a possibility, isn't it?
Yes. Hey, look, Ed, don't tell her that you've told me it was all a joke.
I won't tell her. I hope it works with her and her father, too. Serve them right. Well, time's going on. I say, I think it's time that we were off.
Hello, Harold.
Hello, Elsie. See, I came as soon as I could.
Wait a minute, my uncle and aunt are just going.
Oh, you're here again, are you?
Yes, do you mind?
It doesn't matter to me who's here. Though I know one who won't be here again for a long time. Not if some people beg on their bended knees, and that's me.
Must you go now, Aunt Lucy?
And Uncle Bernard says so, if we're going to get that train.
Well, you won't wait to say goodbye to Mother. She'll be back in a minute.
No, thank you. If I could wait, I wouldn't. But you can give her one message from me.
What's that?
Just remind her, from me, that there's no smoke without fire. That's all. No smoke without fire.
Oh,
here you are, then. I'm all ready.
That one. What about a taxi?
We're not having any taxis. We can go to the station by tube, can't we?
Yes, but what about from here to the tube?
To walk, Pat.
Yes, but what about these bags?
It's 10 minutes walk.
10 minutes walk won't kill us.
It won't kill you, but it will kill me carrying these bags.
Well, you'll have to put up with it for once. Goodbye, Elsie. And just try and be sensible. Though that won't always be easy in this house. Goodbye, Harold.
Goodbye.
Pleased to have met you. Come on, Bernard.
Ugh. 10 minutes walk. It's murder. I've known stronger chaps than me strain their hearts doing silly things like this.
Never mind, Uncle. You'll be able to have a good rest in the train.
Good rest? It's a stopping train to Dundee. I'll be able to take root. Goodbye.
They're clearing off suddenly, aren't they?
Yeah, as soon as they thought we were in trouble, they wanted to pack up and go, and that made Mother angry.
In trouble? You mean because of what your father said last night?
Oh, it went further than that, because they thought somebody was coming here to arrest Dad, so they wanted to go at once. So then Mother told them to go. She doesn't like people who leave you in the lurch, and I don't
but
either.
But wait a minute, there isn't anybody coming here to arrest your father.
Perhaps.
Well, I don't care.
How do you mean that?
Yes, I do. No, I really came to tell you how sorry I was, and am, about the way I went off last night, and the letter I wrote you. You see, I hadn't time to think. The whole thing took me completely by surprise.
You hadn't time to think about what?
About you and me. When all that stuff came out last night, all I felt, as any honest man would, was that I must keep out of this. And for the moment, well, I suppose I mixed you up in it. I realise now that's where I was wrong. It's got nothing to do with us what your father is, and does.
Do you really mean that, Harold?
Yes, Elsie.
Are you sure?
Well, yes.
Think of the disgrace, though, if Dad's found out.
Never mind. We'll stick it. And after all, your father was exaggerating it, wasn't he?
Was he?
Well, you know he was. I think he's a... well, rather a leg puller anyhow, isn't he?
Oh, no, Dad isn't. That's not like him at all. Now, Uncle Bernard, you know, the one who's here just now, he'd say anything for Tuppence. You can't believe a word he says.
Can't you?
Good Lord, no. He's an awful mischief maker and liar. Hope he hasn't said anything to you.
No. No, of course not.
Oh, that's all right, then, because you simply can't believe him. Dad's quite different.
Look here, I don't quite understand this.
Well, it doesn't matter, does it? After all, the important thing is us.
Oh, yes, of course.
That's all that matters, isn't it?
Yes. Come here.
No, I'm not going to kiss you just yet.
Oh, come on, Elsie.
Well, you must remember, Harold, you upset me terribly running away like that last night and then writing me that letter. I haven't got over
it
yet.
Well, I've told you it's all right now.
Well, it may be for you, but it isn't for me. I've given you up, you see. It'll take me a very long time to get fond of you all over again.
No, it won't.
Yes, it will. Besides, I want to talk. If you're kidding, you can't talk seriously.
Well, we don't need to talk seriously. I've told you I want you, and I don't care now what your father is and does. Hello. What's this?
What's the matter?
Well, I suppose this card is part of the joke, too.
Oh, that. No, the man left it when he came here this afternoon.
An inspector from Scotland Yard?
He came here this afternoon to see Dad. He's coming again tonight.
My God.
Oh, I was terribly upset at first, but I've got over it now.
Look here. Look, what's going on here? First your father tells us all that stuff about being a crook, and then your uncle tells me it's all a joke. Now you say there's someone coming from Scotland Yard.
Oh, Uncle told you it was all a joke.
Well, if you must know, yes.
And you didn't tell me he told you. You let me think you didn't know.
Well, what does that matter?
It matters a lot.
Look, I'm fed up with this. Is it a joke or isn't it? Hey, if it is a joke, why did this chap from Scotland Yard come here?
You'd better wait and ask him. He'll be here soon.
I'm not going to wait for him, I can tell you that. It's no business of mine.
Oh, there's somebody there now. Hadn't you better go while there's time?
Hello, Elsie. I found Joe Fretton waiting on the doorstep.
Hello, Elsie.
Hello. What's the matter?
I think you'd better go now, Harold.
I thought you had gone. For good.
So did I this morning. But I thought I'd give him another chance. And now you can tell him, Dad.
Tell him what?
You can tell him what we found out from Mother this afternoon, that what you said last night was all a joke and that Harold ran away for nothing.
Oh, you've found that out, have you?
Yes. Mother showed us the book. It's this one, isn't it? You've got all that stuff out of.
What stuff? Or is this private and confidential?
No, it isn't. Dad last night pretended he was a crook.
Mr. Radford, how could you?
And he told us a lot of stuff he got out of this book. We all believed him at the time, and Harold here still thinks it's true and wants to run away.
Do you mean to say you could believe for 1 minute that my friend Mr. Radford was a crook? Mr. Radford, of all people.
Oh, he swallowed it, all right.
And so did everyone else.
Where's your intelligence, young man? Where's your, what's it, your nose, sense of character? Mr. Radford, a crook? You'll be thinking I'm a crook next.
We all did.
What, me? Poor old Joe Fletton, who never did anybody any harm. And is this your idea of a joke, Mr. Radford?
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. Just a bit of fun on my part, but I thought it might catch one or two people.
And it seems to have done.
Have your Aunt Lucy and Uncle Bernard gone?
Yes, but that was because Mother told them to go.
Oh, that's all right, as long as they've gone.
Don't you think you might apologise to one or two of us, young man?
No, I don't. Look here, Elsie, I've had enough of this.
All right, Harold. I gave you a chance, you know. Dad was right after all. Goodbye.
Oh. Oh. Good night.
Going now?
Hello, Dad.
Hello.
Had a good journey?
Not bad.
Good evening, Mr. Fletton.
Evening, Mrs. Orr.
So, Lucy and Bernard have gone.
Yes. And so has Harold.
I know that. I bumped into him at the door. Has he gone for good?
Yes. Tried and tested and found wanting.
Never mind, Elsie. I'll think of something to make up for it.
Young man actually thought your husband and me was a pair of crooks or something. The cheek of it.
That was only George's nonsense last night. And a very silly thing to do, too, Dad.
I can't understand how anybody believed it for 1 minute.
Well, I must say I'm surprised, too.
Oh, I did it very well.
Well, I wouldn't have thought you'd had it in you, Mr. Radford, to play a part like that. Well, even for a bit of a joke. I doubt if it's anything to joke about.
I rather agree with you there, Mr. Fletton.
We oughtn't to trifle with our good names, even in fun. That's what I feel.
And it does you credit.
As a matter of fact, it wasn't anything Dad had said, but that card that caught Harold out tonight.
What card?
Well, that one on the table.
Oh, how absurd. She means the one left by the man from Scotland Yard.
Oui. What's this about, then, Mother?
Well, it's rather amusing. It happened that a detective inspector from Scotland Yard called to see you this afternoon. Oh, a very nice man indeed. He had such a nice little chat.
Did you know?
And he left his card. But what was so amusing was that Elsie and her uncle and aunt arrived before he'd gone. And you ought to have seen their faces when I told them that he was from Scotland Yard. You'd have screamed.
Oh, no, I should know. Very amusing.
Yes, that's good.
Isn't it?
Did he say what he'd come for?
Yes. Oh, of course, it was something and nothing. Just some inquiries he was making in connection with a commercial case. I told him to come back tonight. You'll be here in a minute now, I expect. You ought to have a good chat.
Yeah, I'm sure we shall.
Well, I'll go and take my things off and see what sort of a mess Lucy and Bernard have made of their room upstairs.
Look here, I don't like this.
Now, don't get into a panic. Take it easy, but keep on your toes. Mm. Listen, you've got to stay here. I can't risk letting you go now. Besides, there may be a lot to do. Now, the minute we hear it, I want you to go out to the greenhouse and sit on the grass on the other side so you can't be seen.
Well, somebody will see me.
Yes, but this chap won't, or anybody he's got with him. Doesn't matter about the neighbours. Well, look as if you're studying botany.
I can't look as if I'm studying botany.
Well, look as if you're half tight and falling asleep.
Oh, I can do that all right.
Don't come out until you hear me calling you.
Right.
And when you do hear me calling you, don't lose a second, understand?
Yes.
Outside quick, and keep down.
Coming!
Mr. Rathbone?
Yes, you must be the inspector.
Yes. Can I see you for a moment?
Of course. Come this way, will you?
Lovely evening, isn't it? Through here.
Well, take a seat, Inspector. Thanks. Have a drink?
No, thanks.
This is very interesting. I've never had the pleasure of talking to anybody from Scotland Yard before.
No, I don't suppose you have, Mr. Rathbone.
Must have a very exciting life, you chap. Different from some of us.
It's not as exciting as people seem to think. Most of it's dull routine and very long hours at that. Not many quiet evenings at home.
That's a pity.
Yes, Mrs. Rathbone was telling me this afternoon that you like to be quiet at home with your greenhouse and so forth.
Yes, my wife and daughter often laugh at me. They think I'm a very dull old stick.
Still, I've known wives and children go sadly wrong about men and think they were leading one sort of life when all the time they were leading a very different sort of life.
Is that so? Well, I've never struck that myself.
Really?
Well,
are you sure?
I can't recall a case at the moment.
It would surprise me.
But if there's anything I can tell you, I'll be only too pleased. I can't imagine why you've taken the trouble to come and see me.
Trouble's nothing to us, Mr. Rathbone, if the case is big enough.
I can well believe that.
I see you're a reader, Mr. Rathbone. Have you read this book?
What is it? Oh, The Great Bank Mystery. Yes, I finished it yesterday.
What do you think of it?
Oh, very entertaining. Like most of these things, very far-fetched. Have you read it?
Yes, I have.
What do you think of it?
Well, as you say, it is rather far-fetched. The swindlers work on far too big a scale to start with.
Yes, I should think so.
All the same, though, it reminds me of a case we've been working at now. One or other of us for over 3 years.
Really? Now, I call that interesting. Over 3 years, you say?
Yes, over 3 years. And no trouble and reasonable expense spared. Mind you, we'll win in the end. We can't lose.
Well, Inspector, I just hope not. We taxpayers want to see something for our money.
We're sometimes very slow.
But you're sure, you know this?
That's it, Mr. Radford. You see, for the last 4 years at least, there's been a gang, a very clever, well-organised gang, who've been engaged in counterfeiting banknotes and treasury notes.
No. I shouldn't have thought it could be done these days.
This gang operates here in England and also abroad, chiefly from Amsterdam and Brussels. Some of their notes are printed there, some of them here. Here's one of their notes. Perhaps you'd like to see it.
Yes, I would.
He handled it as carefully as all that, Mr. Rathbone.
I thought one couldn't be too careful.
If I wanted your fingerprints, you know, I could think of better ways of getting them.
That never occurred to me. You know, I always thought this fingerprint business chiefly belonged to those detective yards.
Now, if this is a fake, it'll take me in. I'm no expert, of course. I'm in the paper trade, you know.
So I understand, Mr. Radford.
I wouldn't have hesitated a minute giving anybody a change for this chap. Isn't it marvellous what they can do? Never would have thought it.
Surprising, isn't it? Oh, they're a clever lot.
Ah, they must be.
They've been clever at getting the right sort of paper. And with their engraving and printing. And with the way they've distributed the slush.
Slush?
Slush. And the Treasury and the banks haven't given us a minute's peace about this case. But at last, we're getting results.
Splendid.
Yes, hundreds of little details that haven't meant anything much for months are now beginning to look like something.
Just like a jigsaw puzzle, eh?
That's it. Of course, there are still a few pieces missing, but not many. Not many. It's only a matter of time now.
Well, that's good, isn't it? You must be feeling very pleased with yourself, eh?
We'd feel better still if we could just mop it all up now.
Of course you would.
You see, this is how it often works in these cases. I hope I'm not boring you, Mr. Radford.
Not at all, Inspector. It's very interesting.
It works like this. We come across a nice little nest of clues in, say, Birmingham.
Well, Birmingham will do. I was there only today.
And among these clues is a name. Just one of several names in a notebook. And that name may turn up somewhere else. Perhaps in Glasgow, perhaps in Amsterdam. Well, the owner of that name is perhaps passing himself off as an ordinary, respectable citizen and businessman. And he thinks he's safe. You follow me?
Yes, I should think I do. Poor devil, I can see it all. This chap imagines he's safe, and of course he isn't, because you've got a lot of evidence against him.
Yes, a lot of evidence.
And of course it's solid evidence. Cast iron, solid evidence that wouldn't make you look silly if you took such a quiet, respectable chap into a police court.
No, that's not quite it, because in this instance we haven't bothered to pile up the solid evidence yet. But we've got one or two interesting little bits. Would you like to hear them?
I would, Inspector.
Well, for example, we know that a member of this counterfeiting ring arrived in Glasgow from the continent on the 23rd of last month. And we're pretty sure we can prove that this quite respectable citizen we're talking about was also there in Glasgow on the 23rd of last month.
In Glasgow on the 23rd of last month? You know, it reminds me of something. The 23rd. Not that I was in Glasgow. As a matter of fact, I was in
Newcastle. And so was this man who came from the continent. Not in Glasgow at all. That was a little trap, and you walked straight into it.
Did I? I'm afraid I don't quite follow you there, Inspector. A bit too sharp for me, I expect.
I shouldn't be surprised.
No. What I was going to say was that I remember the 23rd of last month because the bowling club here had an outing that day. Up the river first, then finished off at the Palladium. And I was with them. About 20 of us there were. Now, that's what I was meaning, you know, Inspector. Isn't that what they call an alibi? Well, you know, if I was that man, and you were silly enough to rush me into court, that's the sort of thing, an alibi like that, which would make you all look very foolish, I imagine. Mind you, I know nothing about it. Well, I've read some of these detective tales.
If you were that man we're talking about, do you know what I'd say to you?
I can't imagine.
I'd say to you straight out. Look here, we know you've been in this, but as yet we can't prove it. Though sooner or later we'll be able to prove it. But as the case has dragged on long enough and we want quick results, don't wait like a fool until we can put you in the dock where nobody's going to have any mercy on you. But tell us all you know now. Help us to clean the whole thing up and we won't even try to prove anything against you.
Well, of course, I can't answer for this man.
Never mind. Make an effort and try.
Well, I fancy the first thing he'd say is that you're bluffing.
And do you know what I'd reply to that? Just to show him we weren't bluffing. First, I'd simply give him two addresses. 59 Poole Road, Glasgow, and 17 Bellingham Street, Newcastle.
Just two addresses like that. Isn't that interesting, though?
Oh, he'd find it interesting, all right. Then I'd give him two names. Peter Corderman and William Frazley. No bluffing there, you see. We know about Corderman and Frazley.
You know, Inspector, this is as good as any of those films and detective tales to me. Better. It's a treat. Go on.
All right. Seeing that I'm putting some of my cards on the table, I might as well put this one. What do you think of that?
Half a jack of diamonds. Oh, that's grand. You're not going to tell me these chaps you're after use a thing like this.
We've got an idea, they do. Sort of visiting card, you know, Mr. Redfern. Quite romantic, isn't it?
Oh, that's the trouble. It sounds a bit too romantic to me.
What do you mean?
Well, of course, I don't know anything about these things.
No, we know all about that.
Oh, it's too much in the storybook style, you know. Sherlock Holmes, Edgar Wallace. Oh, I can imagine some chaps, you know, chaps who like a bit of fun, just planting something like this card on you to keep you guessing and to amuse you. And that Carl Corderman you mentioned...
Peter Corderman.
Oh, Peter Corderman, then. Well, he doesn't sound quite real to me, you know, Inspector.
Now, listen, Radfern. Let's drop this nonsense and talk straight.
Go on.
You're in this counterfeiting game. I know damn well you are, and you know I know. That's straight talking, isn't it?
Well, I don't know whether it's straight or not, but it seems to be very offensive talking.
Well, here's some more. We want convictions, of course. But what we want even more than that is to break up the ring as soon as possible, because the Treasury and the banks are at us all the time. Tell us all you know now. Put the game into our hands and we'll forget about you. And you know what it means if we don't forget about you. There'll be none of this, my first offence, and I didn't know any better humbug for you if you do find yourself in court. You'll get as much as the judge can give you, and that's plenty. Now, what do you say?
This is what I say, Inspector Stack. My name is George Radfern, and I'm in the paper trade and can prove it. I live at Ferndale, Laburnum Grove, Shooter's Green, where I'm well known as a decent, respectable citizen and a householder. I've been swindled myself in my time, but if ever I've injured any man, woman or child in this country, then it's news to me. And you haven't got enough evidence against me to take me to that door. And you know it.
Give me a bit more time, and I'll take you a lot further than that door.
Oh, good evening, Inspector.
Good evening, Mrs. Radfern.
Excuse me for interrupting you a minute, but I've left my scissors down here. Oh, here they are. Are you having an interesting talk, Dad?
Very interesting.
That's good. I won't interrupt again.
Oh, Mother, you know all that stuff from the shipping companies, all those little books that Elsie got to amuse herself with?
Yes, a whole heap of them. She's still got them in her bedroom.
Good, boy. Will you tell her to bring them down with her when she comes? Not just yet. Later on.
All right.
Well, what do you say?
You heard me ask for all those little books from the shipping companies that my daughter's been collecting. Well, she's always been worrying me to take her away somewhere, and I think she could do with a change. So could I. Business is slack now. I have a good mind to go away on a nice long sea voyage.
Oh, you have you? Far?
Oh, I don't know. I think so. Australia, perhaps, or the Far East. Might find something new in the way of business. And see the world, you know.
Always wanted to do it myself. Oh, I'd hate to have to stop another man going.
I shouldn't like to see you even try, Inspector. For your own sake.
Awkward things, those ships. You can't get off them when you like, that's the trouble. And with wireless, they can't get out of hearing.
Yes, that's true.
An English ship, you know, is as safe to us as an English police court.
No. An English ship as safe as an English police court? Then you'll know where to find me if you want me, won't you?
I think so. Well, that's right.
Ah, and thank you very much for calling, Inspector. I've enjoyed this. A peek behind the scenes. Something to tell my friends about.
Good. Any friends of yours, Mr. Radfern, is interesting to me. You wouldn't like to take me round and introduce me, would you?
No, I shouldn't think that would be necessary, Inspector. Just show you out, Inspector. Front door sticks a little sometimes. There we are. So good night, Inspector.
Good night, Mr. Radfern. We'll be seeing you again, I don't doubt.
Joe! What's happened? What does he know? Quite enough. Now listen, Joe. Keep your head screwed on. It's up to you now. Go straight to Westerberg. It doesn't matter where he is or what he's doing. You've got to see him.
I know where Westerberg is. Always at the same place Monday nights.
Well, tell him I've had a yard man here. They've got the Glasgow and Newcastle addresses, and they know about Quarterman and Fraserley.
The hell they do. We're done.
No, we're not. That's all they do know yet. And that's got to be all, too. Now, tell Westerberg it's plan B now or nothing.
What? Sink the plates and presses and scatter.
Yes, he knows what to do. And tell him that, anyhow, I'm working on plan B from tonight.
He'd better wire Amsterdam for me. And I'll ring up Middleton myself now. Have you got that?
Yeah.
And you'd better put Plan B into action yourself, Joe, if you don't want to see Maidstone and Parkhurst again.
You bet your life I will.
Oh, out the back door, then, as quick as you can.
Right.
In a narrow lane at the back, turn right at the top, you're at the tube station in 3 minutes. And for God's sake, make haste. Good luck, Joe. Shan't see you for a long time, I hope.
All the best, Mr. Redfern.
I want to see Mr. Middleton, please. Hello, is that you, Charlie? Yes, Redfern. Yes, everything was at Birmingham. But listen, Charlie. I've just had an inspector from Scotland Yard. Here. Well, you know how these chaps get about a bit. He was saying he's going to take business. It'll be very good the next few months. Yeah. So I thought I'd take that holiday I've been promising myself for some time. Yes. What we used to call Plan B. You remember that little joke? Holland, of course. All right, Charlie. Goodbye now.
You didn't get arrested then, Dad?
No, just managed to escape.
What did the inspector want?
Oh, what you said. He's just making some inquiries about a commercial case he's on. Queer life they have, those chaps.
Wouldn't suit you, Dad. Too much excitement. Not enough peace and quietness.
That's it.
You didn't tell him what a tough old crook you were yourself, did you?
No need to. He knew it already. Now, look here, Elsie. You've got to brighten up, because there's a lot to do.
What is there to do?
Well, one of the things you've got to do is to take your mother to Brussels tomorrow.
What, Dad? You don't mean it.
I do. We're going to close this house and go on our travels.
God gracious me. Oh, Dad.
Now, we've got passports. You see, we're going to close this house, pack up and go on a long sea voyage. East Indies, Far East, Australia, oh, God knows where. Only we're starting on one of those Dutch boats.
Dutch boats? Why not an English boat?
Oh, all the best boats that go out east are Dutch. They're much more comfortable. English boats are like police squads. Now, you and your mother are going to Brussels first, and you're going to meet me later over there.
But how are you going?
I'm going straight to Holland. There's some business to attend to first. A friend of mine will take me.
But how?
By underground, perhaps. Never mind about that.
Oh, I don't mind about anything. Mother, we're going to travel.
I hope this isn't another of your jokes, Dad.
Oh, Dad, I'll never forgive you if it is.
No, isn't it? You've got 24 hours to pack up in and close this house and get off to Brussels.
Oh, we'll have some clothes, won't we, Mother? Especially if we're going to hot countries. Oh, I suppose we could get them in Brussels or wherever we go. Oh. Of course, go to Paris first, and then we can buy some clothes there, and it can nearly as easy to get from Paris to Holland or wherever it is.
Chelsea, stop it. My head's going round.
I'll go.
That child's so excited she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Good, good.
It won't if she's disappointed again.
I'll see to that.
You're very masterful tonight, Dad, aren't you? What's the matter?
Oh, I have to assert myself sometimes, Mother.
Dad, it's a police sergeant and he wants to see you.
All right.
Dad, it's not true after all, is it?
That's all right, Elsie. Ask him to come in.
Don't be ridiculous, Elsie. Please. Come in, Sergeant.
Thank you, Mother. Mr. George Redfern?
That's me, Sergeant.
I think you've seen me before, sir. I'm from the local station.
I know you well by sight.
I've just heard that you might be going away soon.
That's right. I'm seriously thinking of it, Sergeant.
Hmm. Well, Mr. Cross at the in-house said you'd like to be one of the patrons and vice presidents of the new Shooters Green Football Club.
Oh, you've come round to make sure of my subscription.
Yes, that's it, Mr. Redfern. 3 guineas for the vice president.
Oh, yes. Must be a vice president. There you are. And a fiver for luck.
Well, we'll send you the official receipt then. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Redfern. Good night, Mum.
Good night, sir.
Good night, Miss.
I'll see you out.
Thank you, Mum.
What are you laughing at?
I don't know. Everything. Oh, Dad, how long should we be away?
Oh, I don't know yet. 4 months? 6 months?
What about your greenhouse?
Where we're going, it'll be all greenhouse.
What about Laburnum Grove?
It'll still be here when we come back.
Let's look at all these brochures.
It's my turn now. We don't look at anything until we've had some supper. And you can help me to get it ready for once.
All right, Mother.
And you needn't tell me you haven't been up to something, you know, Dad.
All right, Mother. I needn't tell you.
In The Burnham Grove by J.B. Priestley, Mr. Radfern was played by Bernard Archard, Mrs. Radfern by Kathleen Michael, Mr. Baxley by Geoffrey Matthews, and Mrs. Baxley by Diana Olsen. Inspector Stack was played by Michael Byrne, Elsie by Jane Knowles, Harold by Michael Harbour, Fletton by Douglas Blackwell, and Sergeant Morris by Manning Wilson. The production was by Christopher Venning.